1 Kings chapter 17, reading from verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Amen, and God will bless the reading of his word. Let's just pray as we come to the scriptures even just now. Father in heaven, we give thee thanks for the precious book that is in our hand. We thank you, Lord, for the inspired word of God. And as we come to it now, we just ask that you'll speak to our hearts. Help me, Lord, in the things that I will say. Lord, may it speak to my heart and challenge and bless me. And Lord, for each hearer, we ask that it will be a blessing and a challenge. Lord, whatever the word and season is for us today, we pray, Lord, that our ears would be open. Lord, just close us in with thyself now for this little season. Lord, the week that is gone is busy, and I'm sure for many the week to come is busy. There's much distraction, and Lord, even in the busyness of our mind, Lord, just take those things and help us, Lord, to set them to the side. Help us, Lord, just to come to thee and to hear from thee. Close us in with thyself and defeat the powers of the wicked one. For we ask it in your name and for your sake. Amen. If we turn over to a verse in James, it tells us about Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Elijah was a man who not much is said about him. We don't know much about his family tree. We don't know a great deal about his history or his parentage. We just know that he was subject to like passions as us. In other words, he was tempted. He was weak, the same as we are. Because of his nature and his temper, his failures, God had well placed Elijah to do a special work for him. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we consider our weakness and we think of our failures. We think of our nature and our tempers. And sometimes we wonder, how could God be pleased to use those things that are found in us? But those are the people that God is pleased to use. That suits us for his work. If we are saved today, if we have been washed in the blood, our sins are forgiven, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, well then, that is what qualifies us to serve him. Elijah never made any ordinary announcement or one of great significance. Israel was going to be punished. Israel was going to be punished for their sin. Their fruitful land would see no rain, and it would be turned into a place of emptiness and barrenness. It was going to be a fruitless land because of the sin of Israel. You know, sometimes we consider our own land and we think of the wickedness and the turning away that there is in this little land and nation. And sometimes you wonder what God must think of this little country of ours, a country that has been so much blessed with the preaching of the faithful gospel of Jesus Christ. And we consider the state of the land today. Elijah came and he met with Ahab. He announces this to the king. This is going to be a reproving for idolatry, for wickedness. First verse of 1 Kings 17, Elijah meets Ahab. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. God was so displeased with them for their idolatry. They were going to be chastised for it. They were going to be punished. The rain was going to stop. What wickedness there was in the land in that day. they were going to be chastised for their sin. If we turn over to 2 Chronicles 7 and the verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. God, of course, is going to take care of his faithful servant in a time of famine. Elijah knew God's mind. He knew that God would be with him and that God would not leave him short. He prayed and he sought to fulfill and live and follow God by his word. He went and he spoke boldly to Ahab. Elijah knew that God was one who them that honor me, I will honor. And sometimes we need more people like Elijah, people who are not afraid to stand in a day when they're in the minority, in a day when they can challenge sin, in a day when they can stand up for truth and righteousness. After his work was complete, the Lord was going to send him away to a quiet place. That's the importance of the quiet place. I wonder today, in your own Christian experience, have you already been in the quiet place? Today, already, have you got alone with God? In the place of prayer and meditation and truth. Matthew 6 and the verse 6 tells us about the quiet place. Oh yes, we know about it. And sometimes we mean to get there. But life is so busy. Matthew 6 and the verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So many of us, it's easy to live the Christian life in an open way, but it's the secret place that let us down. For this man, Elijah, God was taking him now to a quiet place. He was closing the door to all of the company, all of the distractions, all of the weariness, and all of the things that he had done up until this point. In verse 3, the word of the Lord comes to him and tells him where to go. He said, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." Elijah, I want you to go to the place, Cherith. I want you to go and I want you to hide yourself by that brook. You need refreshed. You need built up again. You need this time of refreshing and blessing. That is the place to meet the need of this hour for you. You know, I wonder to myself, why did God send Elijah to the brook Cherith? He sent him there to guard him when reaction set in. Now think of the energy and what this took out of Elijah to come and challenge Ahab about his sin. After he had made this declaration to Ahab, Elijah needed time to recoup. He needed time to build himself up again after this ordeal, this special service that he had fulfilled in the challenge to this ungodly way, King Ahab. He had challenged this man. He needed a time of refreshing. He was sent to Cherith to prepare him for further service. His work on this occasion, it was not the end of his service. While at this place, Elijah would learn more about his dependence upon God. He would learn to completely trust in him. He would learn patience. He would learn humility. Those are things that we all must learn and we all must need. Why did he send him to Cherith? Because of the apostasy of this day. At such a time as this, God wanted his man to be withdrawn from the apostasy that was there. Elijah was to be one of God's hidden ones. It tells us about that in Psalm 74. Psalm 83 in the verse 3, "They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones." For the time that we have left, let us consider this prophet by the brook. The first thing I want you to look at is the voice that he heard. Because in verse 2, it tells us that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, you know how we need to hear God's voice. So many of us are so busy in life that we don't listen. We don't take the time to hear what God has to say to us. Matthew 4 and verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." We take little time to pray to him. We take little time to read the scriptures, to hear from him. For this season, beside the brook, Elijah was going to be in close communion with God. He was going to hear God speak to him. Isaiah 6 in the verse 8, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" Do we have that availability? Do we have that listening ear to whenever the Lord speaks to us? 1 Kings 17 verse 2, the word came. The instructions for this man was clear. There was no debate, no discussion, no strife, no question. The word came to Elijah. He was walking close with the Lord, and his ear was open to what the Lord was telling him. Clearly revealed in verse 3, "Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith." That's exactly where I want you to be, and that's exactly where I want you to go. Psalm 37, verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Christian friend, today, is our ears open to the voice of God? Where he would send us, those things that he asks us to do? He asks us to walk humbly. He asks us to walk closely with him. So often, whenever we think about the voice of God and hearing from him, we think of the mission field. We think of his service. The Lord's calling us into his work. The Lord wants us to walk with him. The Lord wants us to walk in communion and fellowship with him. How God spoke to Elijah, we are not told. But we know how he speaks his word to us through the scriptures that we have. In verse 2, we're told the word of the Lord came unto him. However God spoke to him, whatever way it was, he heard what he said. For us, the scriptures of truth is the revealed word of God to us today. Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We know the way of the Lord through his word. And whenever we walk in that way, we will have deep peace in our heart. We will have a peace that the world cannot give as we consider the way of the Lord for our own life. Colossians 3 and 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." That word "rule" simply means umpire, to have direct control. We know the way forward sometimes by circumstance. We know the way forward sometimes as doors open and doors close. But we have the revealed word of God in our hand. The instructions given to Elijah in verse 3 were clear, they were precise, and they demanded action. He had to leave. "Get thee hence, go now. The word has come now, I want you to go now. And turn thyself eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith." You know, God has given us his revealed word and his revealed will for our lives. Are we listening as Elijah was listening? Notice also the promise that he received. In verse 4, the Bible tells us, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." With God's command comes God's promise. And the Bible tells us that this promise was certain, because in verse 4, those three little words, "it shall be," God was not going to send Elijah to the brook and forget about him. And you know, friend, today, whatever circumstance you are in, whatever feeling of loneliness or emptiness or doubt or despondency, wherever you are in your Christian experience, and believe me, those are feelings that we all experience. Some people think that the Christian experience is the mountaintop experience, and every day is sunshine, and every day is a blessing, and God is with you every day, and so he is. But there are some days where you don't feel like smiling. There are some days when you are in the valley experience. Some days you feel alone. Some days you feel disappointed. Some days you feel sad and confused, depressed. Those are feelings that God's people experience. God's servants in Scripture experience them. Servants of God throughout the channels of time have written about it. And friend, today, if that's how you feel, consider this man here by the brook Cherith, the promise that he received, "and it shall be." Elijah, I am sending you to the brook Cherith, but you are not going alone. Your circumstances are changing. The place where you are is changing, and I am going with you. And friend, today in this house, if your circumstance of life is changing, God is going with you. You are not going alone. God's supply will be there. The promise was certain and it would be sufficient. Elijah will have his needs met. Philippians 4 in the verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." We see the conditions of this promise. God says, if you will, I will. If you will, I will. And friend, today we must claim that as ours. The important part of this in verse 4 is that little word there. There. If we read the verse, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee." We could claim that. Elijah could claim that and think, this is great. God's going to meet my need. But his need would be met if he was there. If we think of that last word in verse 4, for the need to be met, for God to meet the need fully, Elijah must be in the place where God wanted him to be. Maybe Elijah didn't fully understand why the Lord wanted him to be by the brook Cherith. And maybe in your own Christian experience, where you are today, you don't fully understand why the Lord has brought you this way. You don't fully understand the circumstance of your life and why things are the way they are. But the Lord will meet your need fully and completely and totally if you are there. Because he had promised to meet Elijah's need if he was there. Would the ravens feed him somewhere else? Would the need be met the same somewhere else? The promise was there. And friend, today, in my own experience, I can tell you this, and I'm sure you can too. Whenever you are there, in that place, dark as it might be, lonely as it possibly is, with doubt and fear and confusion, and all of those feelings that we sometimes have, there, that's where we are meant to be. And it's there that God will meet our need. Psalm 23 in the verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know, sometimes the there in our life's experience is hard to explain. There is hard to understand. But know this, that is the place of God's provision. Psalm 34 in the verse 10, the psalm that we read together, the Bible tells us, Psalm 34:10, "But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Friend, wherever we are in life, we need to seek him. We will not be without. Our needs will always be met. In verse 4 and 5, we see that Elijah was swift to do that thing that the Lord was asking of him, because we see the obedience that he showed. In verse 5, it tells us, "So he went." So he went. How often in our life's experience do we drag the feet? We hear the voice of God. The voice of God is speaking to us. The opportunity, the circumstance, whatever prompts, God is using to stir us up. We hear those things, we know those things, and we drag the feet. We shuffle along and we're slow to move. In verse 5, "So he went." Elijah was listening and immediately obedient. There is nothing so precious to the Lord as our obedience. Little chorus that I learned in Jamaica when I looked after the work there for a while. Never heard it before. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Obedience. Are you an obedient Christian today? Are you walking in that way of obedience? Turn over to 1 Samuel and the chapter 15, do we see obedience? 1 Samuel 15 in the verse 3. The Bible tells us, 1 Samuel 15 and the verse 3. This is Saul not being very obedient. "Now go and smite Amalek, and not only destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Notice what it says in verse 8 and 9, his disobedience. What did he do? He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. Disobedience. Saul has been commanded in verse 3, now go and smite and utterly destroy. But Saul thinks he knows best. Saul thinks he knows something better than the command of God. And worse still, not only disobedience, but then there's a deception here. Because in verse 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. He hadn't, but yet he pretended that he had, deceiving the man of God. And because of this, he was rejected. In verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Saul was commanded, he disobeyed, he deceived, and then he was rejected. Verse 22, obey is better than sacrifice. And you know, friend, today in our Christian life, sometimes God can command us. He can challenge us to do something, and we can be disobedient and simply say no. Or we can be like Saul and be disobedient and not do it the way he asked us to do it. And then there can be a deception, and we can set about to convince those and ourselves that we have done it the way God has asked. Not Elijah. Elijah was a man walking closely with God. Elijah was a man that was going where God was sending him and following after God. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a dangerous thing it is to be in disobedience against God. Elijah's obedience was active, because in verse 5 he went and he did. It's instant. It's complete. Because the verses here in 1 Kings 17, it tells us that he did it according to the word of the Lord. He didn't question it. There is no record anywhere of Elijah questioning what God had asked him to do. He never asked, how can the ravens feed me? How will the ravens bring me bread and flesh? He never asked. He never questioned. He just believed. He just believed. You know, friend, today in the valley experience, we need to believe. You're by the brook Cherith today. I have been by the brook Cherith. And the flesh and the bread came. And I wouldn't have believed it until I was there. And here you are today, and that's where you are. You are in the valley. You are by the brook Cherith. The Lord has asked you to leave, to finish what you're doing. Things are changing. Whatever it is, it's a stirring up. And go somewhere else. Do something else. And the Lord's saying, I'll go with you. According to the word of the Lord, I'll be there. I'll go. He never questioned. He never asked. Maybe it's service for you. Maybe the Lord is asking you and challenging you about service. Maybe the Lord's just simply challenging your walk. Maybe the Lord today is just simply challenging your walk with Him in your family, in your home, your service in your church. Sometimes we think of service in the foreign field. What about the service in the home field? What about things in our home church? What about our own children? What about our own families? Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your neighbor across the way. Something the Lord has laid upon your heart. Someone that the Lord is challenging you to speak to about Him. You've never told them that you're a Christian, let alone challenge them about the Lord. The Lord will go with you and the Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless you in your service for Him. Even in this time of drought and this time of famine, the Lord will meet the need of His servant. Because notice the supply that he enjoyed. Providence had brought Elijah to this place. Elijah was in a place of no work, just patience. He was going to sit by the brook, and the Lord was going to meet his need. This was his time that God had set aside for him to be rested and refreshed and built up. Patience. There was no work for Elijah to do but meditate and pray. Sometimes the Lord maybe sets us aside from things to get alone with Him. The busyness of life is not there as it once was. But you know this, for Elijah, this time of meditation and prayer, this was to prepare him for a future work. And even with all spiritual things in view and with the practicalities of everything and the practicalities of our lives, his needs, as our needs, are very real. Elijah still needed to eat. Spiritual a man as he was, by the brook as he was, meditating as he was, and praying as he needed to eat. His physical needs needed to be met, and God was going to meet his needs. In this time of famine, Elijah was still going to eat. In touch with God, in verse 2, the word of the Lord came to him. He heard what the Lord had told him in verse 3, and he obeyed that in verse 5. He went to that place, a place he did not know. He had never been that way before. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever been to a place that you've never been before? Circumstance that you're unsure of? You've never walked this way before. You've never felt this way before. But the Lord will meet your need, because the source is God Himself. Look at verse 4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. You see, friend, today it's God that will meet your need. The source of the provision in your life and mine is God Himself. I, in verse 4 it says, have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So when God makes the command, it will be true. Not only the source, we see the method. Commanded the ravens. God had made a complete plan. Over in Matthew and the chapter 8, verse 26, the Bible tells us there, Matthew 8 and the verse 26, and he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? The wind and the sea obeyed the word of God. Here we see the ravens, and they obeyed the word, the commanded word. It was a complete plan. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? So many times I think of that phrase and I apply it to myself. O ye of little faith. That's one thing in my life. The other thing is the lack of patience. I could do with a stint beside Cherith and Elijah as well. Patience. Patience. Let patience have her perfect work. Also the regularity, the consistency of this plan. Because in verse 6 it says morning and evening. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. When God is organizing things for us, it's consistent. It's without fail. And you know, for you and your life, sometimes in our lives it seems to be confusion, it seems to be disarray and discouragement, but when God is in charge and we are listening to Him and following after Him, though the way be dark, though the way seem lonely and afraid, without fail, morning and evening, consistent. Notice the variety, verse 6, bread and flesh. The Lord was meeting his need. The sufficiency, there was enough until God's purpose was fulfilled. You know, this God that fed Elijah by the brook Cherith is still the same God today. God can use anyone and anything. God can use anyone, anything, any circumstance to bring glory and honor to his name. And he can use anyone, anything, any circumstance to bless his children and meet the needs of his people. And you know this, it can come from the most unlikely of circumstance or person. I could give you certain illustrations and examples in my own experience. There have been times in my life when things have happened or something has gone on, and the first person to turn up at the door to meet that need in whatever way, encouragement or whatever, the first person to come to my door is the person that is the most least likely that I would have ever chosen. And I remember one occasion in particular, I turned the key in the door and opened the door, and it just was incredible to think you're the last person I ever would have thought that would have been the first. Do you understand what I mean? God fed his servant with bread and flesh. And you know, in your life and in your experience, God will meet your need sometimes from the most unlikely of sources, but he will meet your need. Where is that place for you? Where is your Cherith? Well, let me read verse 4 to you again. Where is it for you? And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Where is your there? Well, you need to get alone with the Lord and ask him, where is your there? That's where you need to be. And if you are there, the Lord will meet your need fully and completely in that place. Elijah ate better and he drank better than the rest of all of the Lord's prophets whom Obadiah fed in chapter 18 in the verse 4. Because he was there. He was at the brook. He was at the place where he was meant to be. We think of the false prophets in verse 9, chapter 18, that ate at Jezebel's table. They ate well. But God does not want his children eating at these false tables. Are you getting your spiritual meat at the right table? Christian friend, today, are you being well fed in your Christian experience? In your Christian walk, are you at the proper place? Are you beside the brook where you need to be? 1 Peter 2 and 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Drinking from the brook and eating the flesh, God had promised in verse 4 to feed Elijah and to meet the need, and he did, and he would, and he was. You know how easy it is to look at the tables of others. We'll just turn up those references so that this part will follow through for you. Turn over to 1 Kings 18 and the verse 4. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. I just read about a man by a brook and he was eating bread and flesh and he had the water of the brook. Notice also verse 19 of the same chapter. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, false prophets, 450, and the prophets of groves, 400, which ate at Jezebel's table. You know, friend, we need to be eating at the proper table. We need to be in the proper place. Are we getting our proper food in our Christian life? Are we getting alone with God? Are we eating and drinking at the proper place with him? How easy it is to look at the table of others and think, if I was there, things for me would be better. If it was that way for me, it would be better for me. But no, because we think of those places, those prophets with Obadiah, and we think of where Elijah was, and where Elijah was is where God wanted him to be. How often we run ahead of God, we think we know best, and we think we can plan it this way and do it that way. We need to be there, in that place where God wants us to be. Benjamin Franklin said, content makes poor men rich. Discontent makes rich men poor. Are you content today? You know, sometimes the biggest problem in our Christian life is discontentment. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. And maybe for some reason in our life, we're not content with our lot. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We want the godliness, but we are just not sure about the contentment because we are not happy with our lot. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And you know, friend, as we consider Elijah, for that blessing to be, the lines all must follow up. They all must add up. All of the lights must line up. Godliness, contentment, great gain. Those are the lights that must line up in our life. Notice also the testing that he experienced. Verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now the test has come. God has met the need. The bread and the flesh and the water from the brook. Now in verse 7, the water dries up. At the end of days, it dries up. What am I going to do now? God's purpose has been fulfilled, but God is going to move his servant on. Has your brook dried up? Maybe things have been going so well for you. Maybe you are in the place where you know God wants you to be. And he has met the need and is meeting the need. But it seems to be now that the brook is drying up and you don't know where next. You don't know what you need to do next. The brook is dried up. Why is the brook dried up? Does God care? Has God abandoned me? Why is this happening to me? Verse 7, and it came to pass, in your margin you'll see it, after a while. It simply means at the end of days. The brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Has God forgotten about me? The bread is here, the flesh is here. What about the water? No, God was leading him on. You see, God is continually working in the lives of his people. And for Elijah, God is now working in his life. God is moving him on because the time that he has spent by the brook is done. His time there is finished. And God is going to move him on somewhere else. He's continually working in our lives. And sometimes, whenever the brook dries up in our life, that's it. We're ready to down tools and give up. But that's God's plan at work in our lives. He dries the brook up to move us on. All things work together for good, you see. Romans 8:28. Sometimes people look at life and they think, I don't see the good in this. It's the all things. It's the good and the bad. It's the mountaintop experience and the valley experience. It's the all things. All things work together for good. The good times and the bad times, they all work together for our good to be where we ought to be. One of the commentators used the analogy of a pharmacist. Take some of the elements of the medicine on its own and it'll kill you. Take them all together and mix it up and it'll cure you. And sometimes for us as Christians, we take the dark times and we look at them on their own. And we don't think the all things work together for good. I don't see it. But we need to take the dark and we need to take the bright and we need to mix them together. That's the all things that work together for our good. He's leading them on, but he also wants us to consider others. Elijah now is moving on because he must go to do a work for others. Verse 7, there has been no rain in the land. He also wants him to trust him. Why does the brook dry up? Because the Lord wants us to trust him, to lean not on our own understanding, to continually look to him and depend on him. Psalm 91. Turn up to Psalm 91 and the verse 1. Tells us there, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Think of our heritage. Think of the way that we have walked in our Christian life. And so often we take things for granted. The ravens are coming in the morning and the ravens are coming in the evening. And everything becomes a habit. It becomes a routine and it becomes a ritual. And then we become familiar. And then we forget about our dependence on the Lord and things just happen by themselves. Sometimes the brooks dry up because the Lord wants us to trust him fresh. The brooks dry up to bring us closer to him. Someone once said, my life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle ceases to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. Sometimes on this side the canvas looks so plain and clear. Then we turn it to the other side and it's just a mass of thread with no pattern, no explanation. We don't see it clear. Edward Everett Hale said, never attempt to bear more than one kind of trouble at once. Some people bear three. All they ever had, all they have now, and all they expect to have. What did Elijah do? Elijah took one step at a time. One step at a time. He went first and challenged Ahab. Then the Lord knew he needed refreshed and He told him to go to Cherith, and there he stayed, one step at a time. Then what did the Lord say? The brook dries up in verse 7. There's no rain in the land. Notice verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose, and he went. A widow woman? Remember what I said earlier? Sometimes God uses the most unlikely of sources to achieve and accomplish his work. The first part of this story, it was ravens. Whoever would have thought that God would have used ravens to sustain his servant? Now things have changed. The brook has dried up. He's moving his servant on. Go to Zarephath. There's a widow woman there. A widow woman. You know, maybe you're here today and you are that widow woman. Maybe you're the ravens. And you don't feel that you're able to do much. You don't feel that you're able to do anything in God's work. Well, know this, God takes the most unlikely of candidates and uses them for his glory. Maybe you're like Elijah today. Maybe you're by the brook. And for some reason, you don't know why you're there. You don't know. Maybe where you are, the brook is drying up. You need to listen to the Lord because he's going to move you on somewhere. Because the Lord will always meet the need. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. If you're in the meeting today and you're not saved, well then you don't hear those things from him. The first thing you must hear is God's call of salvation to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and know him as your own Lord and Savior and be washed and cleansed from your sin. We're going to finish with the hymn 513. 513. Blessed is the service of our Lord and King. Precious are the jewels we may help to bring. Down the passing ages, words of counsel ring. He that winneth souls is wise.